Welcome back to the Speakeasy Sports Show, college sports and high spirit. He is John, I am Daniel, and I don't know if there's ever been a time when spirits were higher, John. Vibes are up. You understand what I'm trying to say? Vibes are up right now. We have just finished maybe the greatest weekend in all of sports. The first weekend of the NCAA tournament, first and second round games in the books. We have got a lot to digest. John, give me your biggest takeaway from the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament.
My biggest takeaway is something that I think people who watch this show, if you're watching this now, you already know it and you already feel it. My biggest takeaway is the NCAA tournament is the greatest single championship tournament in all of sports. Like, it's just the greatest. It's not debatable. Not only the storylines, not only the upsets, not only all those things, but the fans, like what we saw from this weekend is you basically encapsulated the spirit of college sports and why college sports are so fantastic in one weekend of basketball. And and I loved it. And I know college sports are changing. There's this changing landscape all over the place, right? You have people that are, even men in suits in high places are even talking about changing this thing. Set all that aside. This weekend reaffirmed what we all believe, what I believe. This is the single greatest championship tournament in all of sports. And I loved it. I loved every bit of it. And I just think, like, if someone doesn't like college sports, tap in to the first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And I don't see how you can watch what happened in the first two rounds and not fall in love with the spirit of college sports. That's what I loved about this weekend.
I was with a bunch of guys this weekend, at a house, all kind of staying together. And there were some college basketball fans in the mix, and there were some non-college basketball fans in the mix. But let me tell you, there wasn't a single person who was not locked in when Creighton and Oregon went to overtime. There was not one person in the house who was not locked into the most dramatic, excitement, action-packed game of basketball that you could ever possibly want to draw up. This NCAA tournament has not disappointed in any way, shape, or form. My biggest high-level takeaway, though, John, is some people don't necessarily like this. If you're more of a casual, maybe this is not, but I'm here to tell you, we're going to be, in a day or so, we're going to have an episode come out about things we're looking forward to next weekend, the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight. Mm-hmm. The biggest, if I could summarize this tournament in one word so far, and this is everything I prayed it would be going in, it would be chalk, John. There's a lot of chalk moving forward in this tournament. Now, has there been some upsets? Yes, there's been some upsets. Let me see if I can think about one. Yale beat Auburn in the first round, John.
Why is that one top of mind?
I don't know. It's just a game I watched. I watched it on TV. And there, right there on my TV, was Yale beating Auburn in the first round of the tournament. There were some upsets in this tournament. Mm. There absolutely were. And you obviously had Kentucky go down in the first round. That's a 3 seed. You had Baylor go down today, on Sunday. That's another 3 seed. So we did lose 2 3 seeds. We lost a couple 4 seeds. Kansas goes down. I know there's another 4 seed that went down. I can't think right now off the top of my head. But by and large, John, you just had so much chalk moving forward in this tournament. And that's exactly what I wanted, because these matchups we're about to get in the Sweet 16, John, are unbelievable. Stay tuned for that. We're going to talk about that more later in the week. Let me ask you this. One team that made you go, oh, dang, that team has really impressed me in this NCAA tournament so far. You got to narrow it down to one. Give me one team that you're like, good Lord, that team's real good.
Daniel, this one's easy for me.
Yeah, I know where you're going to go, and I'll let you have it. I'm letting you have it.
I don't know. I don't think you... Are you sure you know where I'm going to go?
I think I do. If you don't, I love it because I'm going to go there.
Illinois.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. That's the easy one.
That's the easy one, dude.
Illinois is the most impressive team in this tournament so far.
Illinois, by far, the most impressive team. Everybody expected what UConn is doing, right? Like, I think you can talk about UConn. Yes. I mean, you can talk about there are a ton of teams. There are a handful of teams. Iowa State is playing Iowa State basketball. Tennessee figured out that game against, you know,
they went three for 25 from the three-point line and still won the game. I never even heard of such a thing.
And we've talked about that, right? We talked about how Tennessee, like, they can win in multiple ways. But, dude, no one has impressed me like the Illinois Fighting Illini, who, they got Duquesne. They got the Dukes in the second round and, you know, maybe. But, dude, what Terrence Shannon is doing, and we've talked about it on the show. We don't talk about what Terrence Shannon has done off the court, what allegations, any of that stuff. This is about basketball.
Yep.
Right. And this dude is the dude. He's the most outstanding player of the tournament so far. This guy has done nothing but go 19 of 30 from the floor in two games. Has scored 26 and 30. And has really just put this team, you know, on his shoulders as the guy, and has just absolutely blown me away with what Illinois has brought. Now, maybe I shouldn't be surprised, right? I mean, Illinois, you know, they did win the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. They've been a good basketball team with Terrence Shannon all year. But Illinois, they've only played, you know, Morehead State and Duquesne and. But they've done what an elite team should do, and they have eviscerated those two opponents. And so I think for me, for my money, they've been the most impressive so far by a long shot.
Okay. Well, I had a backup, so it's fine. Were right. Illinois is the most impressive team of the tournament so far. They match up against Iowa State in the Sweet 16, and good Lord, I'm excited about that.
That is must-see TV.
Let me go to another team that I don't think anybody was rolling into this tournament, just penciling into the Final Four, John. And again, we'll say it again because it bears repeating. UConn is just punking teams in this, like, so far in this tournament. UConn looks exactly how we thought UConn was going to look. Obviously a 16 seed and then Northwestern. No offense to Northwestern and what they've been able to do this year. Boo Boo is a great player and Northwestern's a good team. But UConn's just out here making fools out of people. Mm. Let me talk to you, John, about the Duke Blue Devils, because Duke Blue Devils came out on Sunday and just absolutely eviscerated James Madison.
Like, an incredible basketball team, by the way. James Madison is a good basketball team.
We were texting back and forth on Friday night saying James Madison looks like as good as any team in this tournament. And we weren't joking with each other. Like, that was legitimate. That was our legitimate opinion. What did we say Duke needed? Go back and listen to the Duke preview show. What did we say Duke needed to have happen in order to be competitive and why they maybe had a chance to put it together and make a run in this tournament? We said they needed somebody other than Kyle Dang Filipowski to put the basketball in the goal. What if I was to tell you that on Sunday afternoon, Kyle Filipowski was the fourth leading scorer for the Duke Blue Devils in that game? If Kyle Filipowski is your fourth leading scorer, and by the way, he had 14 points, it wasn't like he just absolutely went out and laid an egg. If he's your fourth leading scorer with 14 points, Duke is going to be a very hard team to defend. Because what McCain did tonight is what I have felt like all season was in there for him. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Roach is never going to be the guy that's going to go out and get you 30. But I always felt like McCain could be the guy that could go out and get you 30. And lo and behold, tonight, McCain went out and in 30 minutes of action got you 30. That's exactly what he did. And so if Duke's getting that out of McCain, I think Duke is a team, like, I think Duke is a team that can continue to advance. I think Duke is a team that can go beyond just the Sweet 16. I don't think I'm crazy to think that, John.
No, I mean, James Madison coming into this game, James Madison was close to a top 10 scoring team in all of college basketball. I think they were somewhere around 11 or 12. Maybe they have been in the top 10 coming into this game. And Duke, I mean, you're talking about the offensive side of the floor, which is what Duke did, right? They just came out and just put the ball in the hoop. They had, you know, four guys that were in double digits, and all four of those guys played around 30 minutes of the game. Just came out and just lit it on fire and then went over and sat down and put a towel around their neck. But
Why wouldn't they? They're up 40.
I mean, of course, yes. But James Madison, you know, again, like, we'll talk about the other side of the floor. That the defense, like, Duke, this was the most complete game that I have seen Duke play all year. I haven't seen all of their games, so Duke fans, please, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. But I think this was the most complete game that I've seen Duke play all year. They held James Madison to 55 points, a team that was scoring 83 a game coming into this game. And, oh, by the way, had won about 100 games in a row. I don't know how many they won, but it was 13 or 14 in a row coming into this game. Had beaten Wisconsin, who played for the Big Ten, title. Again, you and I were talking about how good James Madison was, and then, Lord of mercy, Duke put it all together on both sides of the floor. And that's what impressed me. Obviously, the scoring, but, man, the defense that Duke played this game against – you know, again, against a team that can really score. This wasn't a scrub team that, you know, that had all of a sudden gotten streaky. This was a team that had scored in their first game of the year. They scored 91, and they just kept scoring the entire year in James Madison. And Duke just made them look silly on the defensive side of the floor, which I thought was really as equally as impressive as the offensive side.
All right, John, let's talk about... I got a couple of just wow statistics and factoids from the tournament. Okay. And then I'll give you an opportunity. I'm sure you got some more teams or players or just coaches or situations that you want to highlight. I want to give you two though, and we can move through them pretty quickly. Gonzaga has made the Sweet 16, John, for 9 years in a row. If you are new to the NCAA tournament, that is insane. Like, that is just, it is hard to win an NCAA tournament game. Ask Kentucky. It is hard. Kentucky's won one NCAA tournament game in 4 years. That's Kentucky, by the way.
Blue blood.
Gonzaga has won at least two NCAA tournament games every year for 9 consecutive years. What Mark Few has done at Gonzaga is, I want to say it's unrivaled in sports, but it's not unrivaled in sports, and it's not even unrivaled in college basketball, John. You know who it is? We just got finished talking about him. What Mark Few has done at Gonzaga is what Mike Krzyzewski did at Duke University. He has taken Gonzaga and turned them from a nobody to a Cinderella, to a great story, to a powerhouse, to a college football or college basketball blue blood, an absolute measuring stick of college basketball. He's made 35 straight tournaments, and he's made the Sweet 16 9 years in a row. Mark Few is one of the most underrated coaches in sports, John. It's unbelievable what he's gotten out of this Gonzaga team.
Yeah. And listen, here's what I'll say about Mark Few and Gonzaga. There are people who only measure sports, period. Only measure sports and championships. That's all they do.
And that's
people
the
sit
thing.
Around. Yep. All they do is measure sports and championships. And I understand that, right? Yeah. I understand that Mark Few has not won the NCAA tournament.
Yep. Duke fans in the comments are screaming that. That's the difference between Mike Krzyzewski and you're right. And you're right. You're right.
100%. But what I will say, though, is because Mark Few has not won the whole dang thing, should not diminish what he has built at Gonzaga and the quality of coach that he is. Don't let that blind you to, you know, just how good that program really is. I think people get, you know, sometimes when you have these guys who like Mark Few, who they're always winning in the first couple of rounds and they're not quite ever getting over the hump and all those things. That does not mean that he is not an elite coach. It doesn't mean that he is not in the top of the top. And you can look, just compare it to John Calipari, right? Like we can talk about, like, if you want to compare it to guys who have won the whole thing.
Yep.
I would say, you know, overall, Mark Few is a better coach in this tournament, at least in recent years, than John Calipari, right? And I think, like, when you look at that, there are levels and layers, and it is hard to win the whole thing in college basketball. Super hard. I mean, we've seen it. I mean, shoot, you saw it with Auburn, right? I mean, you've seen it with there are all kinds of ways that teams can jump up and get you.
It's hard to make it out of the first round. It's hard to make it out of the first dang round.
No, ask Purdue. Ask Matt Painter about playing 15 and 16 seeds. I mean, it's hard. And so I think Mark Few, I just hope that people give that man the respect that he deserves, you know, and don't let that lack of a championship yet blind you. Because, I mean, shoot, they might pop up and win this whole thing.
Listen, I'm not talking about, I'm not in no way am just getting on there trying to dump on Kentucky. I'm a little bit trying to dump on Auburn, but only because you came after me so hard in the comments. But that's not here nor there. Whatever. I'm not trying to dump on Kentucky, but if you're one of the people saying, well, Mark Few hasn't won a championship, so he's not that great. I promise you, I know that you're not a Kentucky fan, because ask Kentucky fans who they would rather have as their head coach right now, John Calipari, who has a championship, or Mark Few. Ask a Kentucky fan who they'd rather 100%. Have as their head coach right now. And they would 100% unanimously agree it's Mark Few. Can we talk about another coach real quick, John? You want to talk about a reversal of fortunes. I want to talk about the greatest story in the tournament, and his name's Kevin Keats. It ain't NC State. That's not the greatest story in the tournament. The greatest story in the tournament is Kevin Keats, because Kevin Keats was getting his spot in the unemployment line all situated. He had been fired at NC State. Don't listen to what the commentators are telling you, the PC version. An agreement had been reached, and the man had been fired. And then what had happened was his team went out and won 5 games in 5 days. And in my man's contract, it says, if I win an ACC tournament, you add 2 years to my contract.
I get an extension.
And I get a raise on top of that. And so what he had done was go from being unemployed to now having a multi-year contract and making a bunch more money. And then he went ahead and parlayed that into a trip to the NCAA tournament, where he won not one, but 2 games and found himself in the Sweet 16. And John, I have not heard about the Kevin Keats contract situation yet. But if he had an ACC tournament clause in his contract, do you think he had a Sweet 16 clause in his contract? Because my man may have just gotten himself another raise, and there's no one who hates his life more than the NC State athletic director, and there is no one who is living larger this week than my man Kevin Keats. It's the greatest story I can remember in a long time in the NCAA tournament.
It is in the NCAA tournament for sure. You know, you had the coach at Long Beach State that had the similar thing, like where he had already gotten fired, and then he won the thing, but he didn't have Kevin Keats' agent. So shout out to Kevin Keats' agent.
That's right.
Because I mean, Lord have mercy. Yeah, and I don't know who agreed to that contract, but I mean, good Lord.
Especially whoever agreed to that contract was thinking, if we win an ACC tournament, we're not going to be trying to fire our coach. We're going to be happy to have him for two more years. Yeah. They had no idea.
Yeah. Well, they obviously didn't pay close attention to conference tournaments and how those things can work sometimes. Yeah. It's like, because you get streaky at the right time. But shout out. I mean, he beat North Carolina in the freaking conference tournament. Like he beat teams that are in the NCAA tournament right now, plowing their way through. And also, can we also say this? We're talking about college sports. We're talking about conference expansion and conferences dying. And Florida State and Clemson are suing the ACC. The ACC is in terrible shape as a conference.
Terrible
and you got shape. Four. And you got four teams in the Sweet 16. Four. Hey,
we sitting all right. Kevin we're Keats, doing fine and, in the ACC.
And Kevin Keats. Yeah, and Kevin Keats is the man. I mean, shout out. That's that. I'm gonna try to work that into my job. Employment agreement. The Speakeasy Sports Show. Listen,
when you re-up your deal with the Speakeasy Sports Show, just make sure you have your agent include some kind of a rider about that. But
yeah,
shout out to DJ Burns though, and DJ Horn. Obviously, Mo Diarra. Like, this is a fun team to watch. This NC State team is just a fun team to watch. Middlebrooks is a ton of fun to watch, in the middle coming off the bench. NC State's no Cinderella. They may be a double-digit seed, John, but this is not your Cinderella in the Sweet 16 type of deal. This is a team that, like you said, has beaten some very good basketball teams very recently. And if you don't think it's possible for them to keep beating very good basketball teams, then you're just not paying any attention. All right, you got one more thought for us from the first two rounds of the tournament. Where do you want to end us off?
Well, I'm gonna give you two because I have a serious one and then a fun one. Listen, shout out to Clemson. Okay, I thought New Mexico was going to beat Clemson, and I thought, you know, that 11 and 6 seed, the 11 seeds in historically in the last 10 years or whatever in the NCAA tournament have a winning record versus 6 seeds, right? Oh. NC State is an 11 seed.
Yeah. There are Duquesne was an 11 seed. Duquesne won their game. Yeah.
Exactly. There are times where most of the time with that 11 seed, you can just throw seeds out the window in those games. Yep. And so I thought, and Oregon was 11 seed, right? And they beat South Carolina.
Yeah, we went 3 out of 4 this year for the 11.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought New Mexico, I honestly thought New Mexico was going to beat Clemson. And I didn't think it was going to
make it a clean sweep. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I didn't think it was going to be close. But man, Clemson, they did exactly what they were doing earlier in the year that somehow disappeared late. And they started playing sound, fundamental basketball. Every guy on that floor was being utilized to their strengths. Brad Brownell and that team really have pulled it together in the first two rounds. And so I want to give a shout out to them, you know, and also they're doing it, you know, so far. It's not like, you know, PJ Hall is going out there and just running game, right? I mean, they're going out and you had four guys in double digits in their game versus Baylor. They beat a really good, really, really good Baylor team. You had Chase Hunter who put 20 up just distributing the ball. You got they're playing about 7 deep, which is nice at this time of year in the tournament. They're not just depending on their first 5 or 6 guys. So shout out to Chase Hunter, PJ Hall, Brad Brownell, that whole team, Joe Girard the third, like that kid has had a couple of really, really good games. So I want to give a shout out to Clemson. I doubted you, and you proved me wrong, and you prove it. You just keep proving people wrong. And now you get a chance against Arizona to really make some noise. And so shout out to them. The last thing I want to leave you with, Daniel, there is just the little nuances of the NCAA tournament.
Okay. I love this.
You know how you know you're completely dead when you play UConn?
When they walk on the court?
that's true. But the main bat signal.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Andrew Hurley is the son of Dan Hurley.
Yes, that's right.
He is a senior on the UConn basketball team. Mm-hmm. He has played a total of 3 minutes in this tournament. Yeah. Two against Stetson and one against Northwestern. Mm-hmm. When Dan Hurley points over to his son and says, check in, kid. It is over. It is like, it is like the Grim Reaper is knocking on the door and it's time to go ahead and say your goodbyes.
Mark Few got his kid in the Gonzaga game too, which is absolutely fantastic. You're beating Kansas so bad that you put in your son as the coach, that's a nice feeling right there in the second round of the NCAA tournament.
So shout out to the coaches' kids who have sat on the bench and played about a minute a game at most that are now getting time in the NCAA tournament because these teams are just blowing other teams out of the water. So love to see it.
Yeah, it's been a really fun first two rounds of the tournament. We haven't touched on everybody. Obviously, Purdue is on a mission. We're going to talk about them when we look at the Sweet 16. Marquette is finding ways to get it done. Are they making me nervous? Yes, they are. But are they finding ways to get it done? Yeah, they're doing it. It's a lot to discuss, a lot to digest. Alabama's in. We're going to talk about all that in our Sweet 16 Elite 8 preview that we got coming up this week. If you haven't subscribed already to the channel and you're here with us 25 minutes into the episode, go ahead and do that. We would really appreciate it if you just subscribe to this YouTube channel. Thanks so much for being with us. Hope you enjoy the NCAA tournament coming up on Thursday night. And we will be back to get you ready for all those Sweet 16 and Elite 8 games before then. He is John. I am Daniel. College Sports and High Spirits, the Speakeasy Sports Show. We'll see you guys next time.